My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drive time in Tokyo, that definitely warrants a raise, maybe a bonus for both of us. I do love when we have international events, and remember, gosh, it feels like forever ago. It wasn't, but it feels like forever and ever ago when we had the Dodgers and the Padres starting the 2024 MLB season in South Korea. That was also when the whole baseball world blew up over the eBay Mitsuhara Shohei Ohtani theft. Wasn't it just a couple of days ago where he was talking about the impact that that whole situation had on him? I don't know if you can go back and grab that cut. If you can, great. But it's almost like it didn't happen in that the Dodgers want nothing to do with it. They don't want to talk about it. They're just supporting Shohei. Shohei just wants to play baseball. And so roughly $17 million is bilked from his accounts. He's completely blindsided. He finds out in this bizarre way at a team meeting where his friend and confidant admits to gambling and a gambling addiction. But it starts to dawn on him what eBay is saying, and that these charges are going to come out. Oh, gosh. I have no idea if Shohei Ohtani's team has been replaced with people that he can trust, should trust. But other than that, the big brouhaha and the scandal, and then finding out in the court documents exactly how much money was stolen, other than those kind of 2 weeks where it was the biggest story in sports, it's like it never happened. The Dodgers are back to business as usual, leading the NL West. Ipe is facing charges, expected to plead guilty. And there are all kinds of theories, shall we say, on the interwebs about how much time he'll serve. If he only gets sentenced to 2 to 3 years, there will be quite the reaction to that. But otherwise, this is how our society and scandal, it breaks and then it disappears. The news cycle moves so fast that something else comes along and poof, it's gone. And Ipe's gone too.
I need to know who's going to be the fall guy.
Jay is still hanging on to that. He's still sure that we cannot ignore the possibility that this is untoward and that Ohtani is very much in the know.
I'm not going to, just like you're saying, it just went away way too fast.
It did.
It's just, it
roared. It was this roaring fire.
And now this.
Almost as though you take lighter fluid and you dump it on your charcoal. And this, the flames leap up. This fire leaps up in the air. And then very quickly, just dies down. If the charcoal don't catch on fire and don't start to burn, it could just flame out really quickly. That's the end of it. It's like it never happened.
That's what it is right now. You hear all these new things about how they reduce sentencing. I'm not accusing Shohei or anybody, but I just think it's went away a little too fast is all.
Ipe Mitsuhara news. I typed in Ipe, and that's the first thing that happened. Ipe Mitsuhara news. Now, according to Shohei and his interpreter, people around him, he actually did lose sleep over the whole thing. I can imagine. I might lose hair. I might lose sleep. I might lose weight. Even if I had the kind of money that he does, just knowing that someone that close to me was able to get away with what he did and that no one on my team was onto it or clued into it or had any idea, I think I would lose sleep too. So yeah, every now and then we'll get asked a question about how he's doing or how he handled the whole thing or how it impacted him.
I think the thing that affected me the most is just being able to sleep well. Now that I've been able to do that, I also, you know, came to realize that, you know, how I feel off the field mentally shouldn't affect my abilities. And I have every confidence in my own ability that I could be able to, you know, still play without being affected by anything that happens off the field.
I can imagine baseball is his escape, his solace, as he tries to feel like he can trust people again as he tries to move forward. And honor is such a major part of Japanese culture, honor and pride. No doubt he feels humiliated and embarrassed in some ways. I hope he wiped out the whole team and has got new people starting over. Although maybe that makes you feel like you can't trust people around you too if you're starting fresh. Here's the thing. He's crushing the baseball. This is still the Shohei Ohtani who knows how to hit and can change the course of any game, but also an MVP inserted into the Dodgers lineup. Oh, yes, that's exactly what they were missing. They were missing an MVP. You know, the Dodgers, they don't have those types of things. They don't have MVPs. They needed, desperately needed a Shohei Ohtani.
Vargas off of second. Lopez pitch. And Shohei hits one well to left field. This ball's back. And this ball is gone. Shohei Ohtani with a two-run shot. It is 9-3. And the show rolls on here in New York.
We're pretty good.
That's Freddie Freeman jumping in the peanut gallery. Ohtani's 14th home run, 3 RBI on the day, and now the Dodgers have won 3 in a row, courtesy of the New York Mets. Well, the fireworks for the Mets actually started, well, with the 8th inning, of course, as they give up 6 runs. But before they can escape the field in the 8th inning, well, it gets a little more juicy, and this is what you'll be seeing and hearing about in sports on Thursday.
Here's the 2-1. Breaking ball down and in. Check the swing. No swing. It's 3 balls and 1 strike.
And now Lopez has just been tossed, Howie. Ramon De Jesus at third. The third base umpire just tossed the pitcher.
Well, I mean, you know what? I understand Lopez is upset, but you can't do that. Because now they've got to get somebody up in the bullpen again. Carlos Mendoza races out to try to rescue his frustrated pitcher. And Lopez even yells a little something out towards Adrian Johnson as he heads towards the Mets dugout. And now Carlos Mendoza's got to use another pitcher here. But now Jorge Lopez has just flung his glove into the crowd.
Oh, dear.
He threw his glove about 4 rows back behind the Mets dugout. And between McNeil's bat slam yesterday after popping up and that display from Jorge Lopez, I think the frustration that engulfs the New York Mets at the moment is quite obvious.
Whenever you're going through a stretch like this, you know, you're going to see some emotions from players and from anybody in here. But what we saw today at Olope, that's not acceptable, you know, and we will address that. We will address that internally here. But, you know, one thing is to once in a while, obviously, but not what we saw today. I understand that guys will get frustrated at times and they will show emotions. But like I said, not going to tolerate that. And, you know, it's part of what we're trying to do here. Like I said, we'll keep it internal. We'll keep it in-house. But, you know, we got to be better.
Definitely doesn't look good. And if our manager says it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable.
Francisco Lindor, who you hear right there, called a players-only meeting right after this game because it's messy. You've got the president of baseball operations for the Mets talking about how he's already considering making changes or making moves in advance of the trade deadline. The trade deadline is not for another 2 months, and that's how bad it is around the Mets. So
messy.
Right? So as you hear on the Mets radio network, Lopez gets tossed. It seemed like it was a quick trigger. Unnecessary. I don't know if Lopez said something that was so offensive that DeJesus couldn't let it go. But the check swing and the call on the check swing, he wanted a clarification. He didn't like the call. It's been a rough inning. So he says something. DeJesus didn't need to toss him. Carlos Mendoza couldn't get out there quickly enough. And as Lopez is walking off the field, not only is he pulling his jersey out, now for a second there, I thought he might pull an Antonio Brown. He didn't do that. We didn't get bare-chested, Jorge Lopez. But we did get an ungloved, is that a word? Ungloved Jorge Lopez.
A big old chocolate ass in MetLife.
Thank God there was no repeat of that. Instead, this is mild compared to Antonio Brown shedding clothing as he's leaving the stadium early. Lopez pulls his shirt out, takes his glove, underhanded him. It's quite the steep angle to get it up and over the net that protects the fans behind the dugout. Yeah, he had to. It was a little bit like what you might see old school free throws, except a much more drastic angle. He goes underhand and shucks it up and over the net into the stands. So, right, that's not what they were looking for. He couldn't get off the field fast enough. He couldn't get out of his own way. And Mendoza, Lindor, you know, talking about it after the fact. The Mets did more than talking. They plastered him with a DFA immediately. So before they even left the stadium, he'd already been designated for assignment. And I know these are emotional times. I get it. You can't do that. But come on. It's not like he threw the glove at someone and hit him in the head. I don't know. To me, this seems... the optics are rough, but it is the Mets. It almost fits with the miserable Mets.
If you ask me, a greater punishment would make him to stay on the team and keep pitching for the Mets. So there's that.
While Lindor is holding his players-only meeting, it's one that doesn't include Lopez, actually. Lopez is speaking to reporters, and the first question was whether or not he was sorry about what he did with the glove.
I don't regret it. I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB. So, you know, whatever happened. So, whatever they want to do, I'll be tomorrow here if they want me, you know, whatever they want to do. So, I'm going to keep doing this thing, you know. So, I'm healthy on whatever, you know, on whatever to do. You know, I'm ready to come back tomorrow if they want me to be here, so I'll be here.
Well, they don't actually want you to be there. We're having a bit of a debate here because according to reporters, and it's all over Twix, according to reporters, Lopez said, I'm on the worst team in the whole bleeping MLB. And different guys who were there in the clubhouse said they asked him to clarify, and he did confirm that's what he meant. I heard it, and I don't know that I think he was confirming. I think there was something lost in translation. I do think it's, you know, it's clear that he doesn't regret throwing the glove into the stands. But when he says the worst team in probably the whole bleeping MLB, I don't know, Jay. I kind of feel like he said teammate. Can we hear it one more time? Just that part about being the worst team.
I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB.
So. I don't know. A little bit of wiggle room there. Worst teammate in the whole.
I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB.
It does sound like in. The more I listen to it, it sounds like in.
I honestly can't tell. It's like the dress thing. Remember that from years ago? Which color is it? Was it gold or white? You look at it one and it's gold, and then you look at it again and it's white. This is what this is to me right now.
I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB.
Just as a side note, this is why a lot of athletes, specifically Major League Baseball, who don't speak English as their first language, use interpreters or translators because they get nervous about what... Now, his English, he's got great command of English, but did he say what he meant or did what he say come out the wrong way? I just can't imagine a baseball player, any athlete on a team anywhere saying, I'm on the worst team in the whole bleeping league.
He did just throw his glove in disgust into the stands.
Well, he was upset about getting tossed out and the fact that the Mets were tied until they gave up six runs in the eighth.
I've been looking...
That's the part where I can't figure that out.
I've been looking. That's what I mean.
I don't know what he's saying.
Like he might have tried to say, I've been looking like the worst teammate in probably the whole bleeping MLB.
I think I've been looking the worst team in.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough. Either way, if there is room for interpretation that includes you calling your team the worst in all of the league, that's probably cause for DFA. Now, he was asked to clarify. And again, listening to him, I'm not sure he really understands or he and the reporter were on the same page even in this exchange.
Just to clarify what you said, just because I didn't fully understand, did you say I'm on the worst team? Is that what you had said?
Yeah, probably. It looked like.
And that they were embarrassed by you? Is that what you...
Yeah, they do.
But see, that's the thing. If they were embarrassed by you, that means you were the one that was the worst. Jay, are we putting way too much thought into this?
No, I don't know. It's...
Maybe it's overanalyzation that's not required.
Anyway, so.
Right, he is gone. Regardless of it's the glove throwing incident or him calling the team the worst.
But he says looked like. So are you calling when the reporter says, are you calling them the worst team? And he goes, probably looked like it, right? Like
that's true.
Yeah, probably. It looked like.
It looked like. It means they looked like the worst team in the league.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. Maybe he's just...
All he had to say was, I didn't mean that, if he didn't mean that. But he said, he doubled down. It's, whether he did say that or not, he had a chance to redeem it.
Assuming he understood the question.
Right, of course. But
you know what? He chose to speak English, and he's got fairly good command over English.
For 10 years now.
True. So, yeah, maybe it wasn't lost in translation. Whether or not we misunderstood, I appreciate that the reporter did, in fact, ask to clarify. And you're right, he doubled down. Whether or not he understood is not really the issue. It kind of feels like the Mets were going to DFA his rear end anyway, his posterior, if you will, just because of the whole glove-throwing incident.
Yeah.
I think that was
no coming back from
that. That was probably more than enough for the Mets to say, hey, why don't we...
kind of dared them to end of that first cut that we played where he's like, oh, if they want me to, I'll be here tomorrow if they want me, if they want. Like, well, I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, and just for accuracy purposes, in case you're not following the standings right now, they're not actually the worst team in Major League Baseball, but they are the fifth worst team in Major League Baseball.
Top five.
The bottom feeding five. The Chicago White Sox currently hold the grand prize as the worst team in Major League Baseball with a total of 15 wins. Next in line, as we go through the bottom feeding five. The Colorado Rockies and the Miami Marlins. And actually, the Marlins have more losses. Rockies and Marlins have the same number of wins, 20. But the Marlins are technically worse because they have more losses. So it would be Marlins, then it would be Rockies, then it would be the Los Angeles Angels. I mean, that's pretty standard. It took them a little... Well, actually, it didn't take him as long to catapult to the bottom of the abyss in the AL West, but that's pretty much where they are used to being. But it is a little bit, it's got to be disconcerting to the Angels that they are actually worse than the A's this year.
Our whole focus is going to be to run the West down, and you can take that to the bank and deposit it.
Ron Washington before the season.
Right. Better start running. They're only 9 games back, honestly. The whole AL West is not great, but I do have to say we need to highlight the Seattle Mariners last night for 2 reasons, so we can do that. But yeah, the Angels would be the 4th worst team in Major League Baseball, and then the Mets. All right, so there's hope.
This losing thing sucks.
There's hope, right?
Yeah. It's not even June yet, and they're talking about trading everybody at the deadline at the end of July.
Pete Alonso just got hurt. Don't know how long he's going to be out. So that's another piece of it, too. Might as well just start trading guys now. Where's Max Scherzer when you need him? Oh, he's a World Series champion.
Well, he was before.
Adding insult to injury. My gosh. What's worse, the Mets or the Jets when it comes to the narrative about lovable, actually not so lovable losers? What's worse? The thing is, the Mets...
Bums.
Right. Sorry, Aaron. The Mets... Sorry, not sorry. The Mets won 100-plus games just 2 years ago.
101. Manager of the year, Buck Showalter.
Wow.
New owner.
This is one of the elements of working in sports that it keeps it interesting and fresh, is... You really never know. You can go from worst to first. You can go from top of the world to bottom of the shoe of the commissioner and everything in between. Yeah. As much as there are people out there would say, oh, you can buy a team, you can do that. No. Still, these are human beings. And I'm on the worst bleeping team in MLB. Oh, dear.
Let's go, Max.
All right. We were talking about this earlier, the months of the year in sports. June feels like a transition month to me. We're coming out of the winter season, so we're about to crown champions in hoops and hockey. Yes, we've got some big events like the U.S. Open in golf, the French Open in tennis, certainly the drafts in hoops and hockey. It's baseball where you're pretty sure you can see the patterns. And while there's still plenty of time, if you do want to make up ground and become a better team, we're pretty comfortable with what we know about Major League Baseball right now. And then there's football workouts. There's racing. There's MLS, messy, 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 messy. But it's more of a transitional month. It gets us from the spring into the dog days of summer. I'm going October month number 1, April month number 2, January. That surprised me. January month number 3 as my can't miss months in sports. Of course, we were actually asking if we could make some overtime in this gig earlier, just because
some regular time.
We don't get to pick and choose which months we want to pay attention. Could you imagine coming in, say, in March? It's not one of my top 3 months. I don't think I'm going to pay attention to sports this month. Huh. OT. Let's get some OT. Can we start a petition?
Sure, I'll sign it.
Just me and you. I'm going to sign the petition.
To start.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio, we still got our poll up. How much do you miss the NFL right now? Be honest. If you don't, it's fine. You can tell us. But right now, the 10s have it. The 10s have it. Our Facebook page too. Your months, your sports months that you can't miss. It's good to connect with you on what is a Thursday morning. Thursday. Whoo, heading downhill toward the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Nelson delivers, and Curry swings it to deep drive to right. Back goes McCarthy. He's at the wall. That ball is history. Curry Seager puts one in the first row of the lower deck. He has done it again. A two-run homer, and it's 4-0.
We're just putting good at-bats together. 1-9's grinding and trying to figure things out and getting the ball rolling. It's been better.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Can't really hear Corey Seager there. He was, he wasn't nearly as fired up as his teammates were about 8 home runs in 8 games. But that's what he's doing for the World Series champions. He is now red hot. You hear the call there on Rangers radio. Bruce Bochy, much more loquacious when it comes to his slugger.
I don't know what else to say about him. I mean, he's carrying us. He's trying to carry us, through that tough stretch. And
hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And so another big day for him. Good to see contribution toward the back end of the order. You know, we had, 5 hits there, I think, between Langford and Jonah and Duran. So good to see them do some things there to help out. But I don't know what else to say. He's just an incredible hitter.
Rangers are closer, the World Series champions. They're getting closer to the Mendoza line, so almost back to 500. And like I was saying about the AL West, really there's not a whole lot of separation. So I suppose if you're the Angels, 9 games isn't impossible to make up. Clearly the Mets are about to start divesting themselves of pieces. They may be using guys from A-ball by the time we get to July. And so for that reason, and actually Jorge Lopez is available if you're interested. So the Rangers, they're on a tear. Should we call it a tear? Probably not. We'll call it a mini power surge. 3 games in a row.
Power surge is good.
All right, power surge. That's the Rangers, but they are the defending champ, so there's a lot more to the story. The Stars are into the Western Conference Finals, tied with Edmonton 2 games apiece. And you've got the Mavericks, who have a 3-1 lead on the Wolves in the Western Conference Finals. So the only team right now that's not making a whole lot of noise. Of course, they're out of season, but the pressure ramped up on the Cowboys.
Excuse me.
Get me some oxygen. All right, so that's the Rangers. Top of the AL West. I can't help it. Even if it's some random game in May, If it also features dogs, we're going to have to talk about it. Oh, and it did actually feature a walk-off. And trust me when I say these two things are connected for Seattle.
The set, the pitch. Swinging a fly ball. This will be enough. Plenty enough. Tucker is back in the corner. He makes the catch. Classe is racing home. It's a walk-off sacrifice fly from J.P. Crawford. He is hoisted in the air by the caveman Luke Raley at first base. And the Mariners have just won the series. They've walked off the Astros in 10.
Let's go, Mariner fans. Fly one tonight. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling, baby.
Okay, now, that's J.P. Crawford on Mariners Twitter. J.P., woohoo! Not all that different from what his dogs were doing while they watched him hit the sacrifice fly, which, by the way, I still can't stand the gimmicky runner at second base in extra innings, but it's there, might as well utilize it. So Crawford drives home the winning run, they walk off, and meanwhile, a member of his family is got the game on TV at home, and his dogs are sitting in front of it. Listen to them. How great is that? And it's verified. This is on Mariners Twitter. Now, it was put out by the Crawford family, but it's on Mariners Twitter. Those are actual dogs. Jay, if you want to retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours, it's fantastic. It's a chorus. Can we potentially match it up with JP at the end of his woohoo? I wonder if they heard their dad and that's what set them off.
Woo-hoo! Fly one tonight. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling, baby.
It's true. Also, are you ready for more dog knowledge here? We're dropping some doggy knowledge. It's the second bark in the park. That's what they call it in Seattle and probably other places too. But they were hosting Bark in the Park last night, which is why the theme was dogs and J.P. Crawford's were getting special treatment on social media. Bark in the Park. And it's the second time this year that Bark in the Park has resulted in a walk-off.
Wow.
Right? So if you check out Mariners Twitter, it's amazing. First of all, the Mariners have posted adorable photos of dogs all over the field. Because after they win, pet owners are allowed to bring their dogs onto the field. That's kind of the major attraction, is once the game's done, you can walk your pets out there on the field.
The grounds crew loves that.
I'm sure. And they're kind of digging up the dirt. Anyway, there are dogs of all shapes and sizes. They're wearing Mariners handkerchiefs and what are those called? What's the word I'm thinking of? Handkerchiefs?
Scarf?
No, not bandana. A scarf. Bandana, thank you. Yeah. Penny sometimes would come home with bandanas from the groomers. So they've got bandanas and scarves. They've got sweaters in some cases. So they're all decked out with their favorite M's gear. Amazing. There's dozens of dogs on the field. But the Mariners posted with a montage of doggy photos, two bark at the park so far this season, two walk-offs. Are you ready for this? Howl yeah.
Deserves a raise.
Howl yeah. And then you've got J.P. Crawford's dogs. Howl yeah. That's so great. Bark in the park. What more do you need on a Thursday morning? What more do you need on a Wednesday night in Seattle? And what more do you need on a Thursday morning? That should make you happy, my friends. Because we agree on nothing in this country except for football and dogs.
We got dogs, Jimmy!
Right, right. That makes me happy. Every time I hear a dog howling happy, Penny never did this. She wasn't a howler. Daisy, who is our mini Aussie now, she's a singer. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's kind gotcha. Of a whine, but it's more of a singing. Aussies are known for their singing, and other dogs too. So she greets me at the door every morning with a chorus.
That's nice of her.
Yeah, it is. She gets very excited, like so excited that her whole body's wiggling. So Aussies don't have tails. They just have little stumps, and her whole body is shaking. She's so excited. all 20 pounds of her. She's a run and she's a mini, so all 20 pounds of her. So it's not quite like Penny, nor is it the howling, but I always think it's so great when dogs respond to their owners or to something cool by singing along and howling along. Do you think they knew?
It's uncanny how they're all in unison in chorus. Literally, I mean, if you go to our Twitter and check out the video, the home run's on. They're doing it to the home run.
Right,
it's
you
unreal.
Can see it. Yeah, the dogs are there on camera with the TV, and it's on the home run. The only thing I'm thinking is, was someone off camera getting them to howl?
But
which, that would be
train
a little...
them to howl?
It would be cheating. Yeah, you can get dogs to speak. You've heard that.
Yeah, right.
But for that long... And for that particular moment, maybe someone standing behind the camera has taught them to speak and is holding treats up. That's the only thing. Is that me being cynical or skeptical?
No, it's just the world we live in the internet. But
that's true.
Either way, it's a well-done video.
Anything for clicks, baby. Anything
that's
about for clicks.
It.
And whatever, it's dogs howling at their dad. So.
But bark at the park resulting in two walk-offs.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the universe.
Every night. It needs to be every night. I'll move to Seattle if they do bark in the park every night. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or check out that cool video the Mariners posted from J.P. Crawford's home with his walk-off. Dogs don't differentiate, too. It doesn't matter if it's a walk-off grand slam or if it's a walk-off sack fly. Dad got the job done.
That's, walk-off hit by pitch, doesn't matter.
That's all we care about. Oh, he's got a lot of dogs in that house, too.
At least five that I saw.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Possession game. Gap for the rebound. Mavericks have to move. Doncic with 15. Doncic across the line. Right to left. Forces it up. Draws the foul. And that's it. Oh! Oh, no! He did just do that! Oh, my goodness! Doncic, a miracle shot! And a chance at a four-point play with 13.2 seconds remaining.
Unbelievable that Edwards even reaches in there on that.
The ball will be inbounded. It comes... to Gafford, the ball game is over, and the Wolves have done it. They have forced a game five for the third time in this postseason. They faced elimination, and each time they found a way to win. 105-100 is the final score here in Dallas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chuck Cooperstein and Alan Horton on the Dallas Mavericks and Minnesota Timberwolves radio networks. We're getting set for game five of the Western Conference Finals. And I think if the Mavericks lose tonight, the pressure on Dallas changes dramatically. Now you're feeling it a little bit. It was... not great to come out with less energy for game number four. But it makes sense because they didn't have their backs against the wall, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of the various cliches that we talk about in sports when human beings face elimination or the end of their season or a do or die situation. So that part I get. But if you lose in game five, and it very well could happen because you're on the road in Minneapolis and we know what the Wolves are capable of with that defense. And also the Mavericks can get two-dimensional, meaning it's only Kyrie and it's only Luka Doncic. And we know that's not always enough. It won't be enough to beat the Celtics if they get there. They're going to need an all-out, all-hands-on-deck effort. And even against the Wolves, maybe they feel like they've got new life. They just won on the road in Dallas. Can they now? I mean, technically, if they... could win tonight on their own court. I mean, this looks completely different. And I think that, again, the confidence that they could get from winning two games in a row, the confidence that could come from having already won a game in Dallas, to me, that makes a big difference. So we'll see. I really think it behooves the Mavericks to win this game tonight, just so that you have at least a week off. You don't want the Celtics kicking maxing, relaxing for more than a week if you're going to keep battling against one of the top defensive teams in the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, in all of the coverage of the NBA's finals series and conference finals and on into NBA finals, there's still this conversation about what happens with future broadcast rights for the league. And while you may not care much about all those deets, we've kind of gone over them in shows past, and nothing's done yet, though it does seem like TNT will be losing its rights, and Charles Barkley's already expressed his disdain and his displeasure with this decision. But I would say, I would venture to guess, and Jay, you can tell me if I'm right or you think I'm way off base, far more NBA fans care about what happens to Inside the NBA, the show, than they do about which network ends up with the rights. To me, that's...
I think it's irrelevant, yeah.
Yeah, that's the crown jewel, so to speak. To the point where you even have TMZ reporters staking out Adam Silver so they can ask him about the breakup of Inside the NBA. So this, we caught on TMZ, and Adam Silver, he's TMZ worthy. But yeah, the reporter wanted to know about Shaq and Charles and Kenny and Ernie and what happens to this beloved show.
We're never going to lose Charles and Kenny. They're always going to be covering the NBA.
But how is that show? It's not going to be on that station.
We're all still talking. Who knows how it's going to work out?
Do you still think they'll do something as a team together at some point?
I can't imagine those guys won't be performing, won't be announcing together.
So that's Adam Silver's input. Not that he has a whole lot to do with it, unless somehow it was written into the NBA contract, but that doesn't seem right. If you're NBC, for instance, or you're Amazon Prime, you either have to hire those guys so they're your property, or you let them do their show on their own, but they're doing it without the games themselves, which I don't think it's impossible to do that. But the two work together better, right? Because people, they're watching the game is done, it automatically goes right into post-game, or they tune in early to that station, that network, and there's the show. So,
you're not going to watch the game on one channel and put on YouTube
more than likely
for
not
another halftime show.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, sometimes I watch NFL Network on Sunday mornings. Well, not Sunday morning, but like when I'm getting home from church and it's an hour to go until kickoff. I watch NFL Network, and then I put on the actual station with the game. So it's not impossible to fathom. Not impossible to fathom. Anyway, so there's the word on TMZ Sports from Adam Silver that let's not put a eulogy on the show just yet, and certainly not Charles and Kenny. I can imagine that they would get offered jobs elsewhere, but we did hear that Ernie Johnson is staying with TNT regardless. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know, we love to make you smile. This time of the year, coaches, they don't smile nearly as much, not until the deed is done. And we've heard other coaches, like Mike Malone, for instance, get annoyed at a reporter's question. Well, Peter DeBoer, the Dallas Stars coach, he's the latest to be on the hot seat, if you will.
Pete, I know that it's going both ways, but is there a way to better prepare your team for the sharp momentum swings that are clearly winning games in this series?
Yeah, I think everyone's trying to prepare your team. You're three rounds in, so, you know. Yeah, I don't understand that question. What do you mean prepare? What do you mean prepare your team?
I guess what we're seeing is when it turns, both teams are having a real hard time handling when that momentum gets rolling. So is there a better way?
You got two good teams going at it. You got two good teams going at it. That, you know, that I don't have an answer to that.
So that's relatively mild compared to Rick Carlisle, who, remember, he's like, I just watched it. I saw everything. 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 The reporter echoes him. Everything? Everything. Or Mike Malone, who gets so upset when you don't give proper deference to one Nikola Jokic. Everything. Everything.
Stupid ass questions.
It's good stuff. Now, who had a worse day? Would it be Peter DeBoer? Or would it be Jorge Lopez? DFA. You don't throw your glove into the stands. Although somebody out there got a really sweet souvenir. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Possession game. Gafford the rebound. Mavericks have to move. Doncic with 15. Doncic across the line. Right to left. Forces it up. Draws the foul. And it's it. Oh! Oh, no! He did just do that! Oh, my goodness! Doncic, a miracle shot! And a chance at a four-point play with 13.2 seconds remaining.
Unbelievable that Edwards even reaches in there on that.
The ball will be inbounded. It comes to Gafford. The ball game is over, and the Wolves have done it. They have forced a game five for the third time this postseason. They faced elimination, and each time they found a way to win. 105-100 is the final score here in Dallas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chuck Cooperstein and Alan Horton on the Dallas Mavericks and Minnesota Timberwolves radio networks. We're getting set for game five of the Western Conference Finals. And I think if the Mavericks lose tonight, the pressure on Dallas changes dramatically. Now you're feeling it a little bit. It was not great to come out with less energy for game number four. But it makes sense because they didn't have their backs against the wall, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of the various cliches that we talk about in sports when human beings face elimination or the end of their season or a do or die situation. So that part I get. But if you lose in game five, and it very well could happen because you're on the road in Minneapolis and we know what the Wolves are capable of with that defense. And also the Mavericks can get two-dimensional, meaning it's only Kyrie and it's only Luka Doncic. And we know that's not always enough. It won't be enough to beat the Celtics if they get there. They're going to need an all-out, all-hands-on-deck effort. And even against the Wolves, maybe they feel like they've got new life. They just won on the road in Dallas. Can they now? I mean, technically, if they could win tonight on their own court, I mean, this looks completely different. And I think that, again, the confidence that they could get from winning two games in a row, the confidence that could come from having already won a game in Dallas, to me, that makes a big difference. So we'll see. I really think it behooves the Mavericks to win this game tonight, just so that you have at least a week off. You don't want the Celtics kicking maxing, relaxing for more than a week if you're going to keep battling against one of the top defensive teams in the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, in all of the coverage of the NBA's finals series and conference finals and on into NBA finals, there's still this conversation about what happens with future broadcast rights for the league. And while you may not care much about all those deets, we've kind of gone over them in shows past, and nothing's done yet, though it does seem like TNT will be losing its rights, and Charles Barkley's already expressed his disdain and his displeasure with this decision. But I would say, I would venture to guess, and Jay, you can tell me if I'm right or you think I'm way off base, far more NBA fans care about what happens to Inside the NBA, the show, than they do about which network ends up with the rights. To me, that's...
I think it's irrelevant, yeah.
Yeah, that's the crown jewel, so to speak. To the point where you even have TMZ reporters staking out Adam Silver so they can ask him about the breakup of Inside the NBA. So this, we caught on TMZ, and Adam Silver, he's TMZ worthy. But yeah, the reporter wanted to know about Shaq and Charles and Kenny and Ernie and what happens to this beloved show.
We're never going to lose Charles and Kenny. They're always going to be covering the NBA.
But how is that show? It's not going to be on that that station.
We're all still talking. Who knows how it's going to work out?
Do you still think they'll do something as a team together at some point?
I can't imagine those guys won't be performing, won't be announcing together.
So that's Adam Silver's input. Not that he has a whole lot to do with it, unless somehow it was written into the NBA contract, but that doesn't seem right. If you're NBC, for instance, or you're Amazon Prime, you either have to hire those guys so they're your property, or you let them do their show on their own, but they're doing it without the games themselves, which I don't think it's impossible to do that. But the two work together better, right? Because people, they're watching the game is done, it automatically goes right into post-game, or they tune in early to that station, that network, and there's the show. So,
you're not going to watch the game on one channel and put on YouTube
more than likely
for
not
another halftime show.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, sometimes I watch NFL Network on Sunday mornings. Well, not Sunday morning, but like when I'm getting home from church and it's an hour to go until kickoff. I watch NFL Network, and then I put on the actual station with the game. So it's not impossible to fathom. Not impossible to fathom. Anyway, so there's the word on TMZ Sports from Adam Silver that let's not put a eulogy on the show just yet, and certainly not Charles and Kenny. I can imagine that they would get offered jobs elsewhere, but we did hear that Ernie Johnson is staying with TNT regardless. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know, we love to make you smile. This time of the year, coaches, they don't smile nearly as much, not until the deed is done. And we've heard other coaches, like Mike Malone, for instance, get annoyed at a reporter's question. Well, Peter DeBoer, the Dallas Stars coach, he's the latest to be on the hot seat, if you will.
Pete, I know that it's going both ways, but is there a way to better prepare your team for the sharp momentum swings that are clearly winning games in this series?
Yeah, I think everyone's trying to prepare your team. You're three rounds in, so, I don't understand that question. What do you mean prepare? What do you mean prepare your team?
Well, I guess what we're seeing is when it turns, both teams are having a real hard time handling when that momentum gets rolling. So is there a better way?
You got two good teams going at it. You got two good teams going at it. I don't have an answer to that.
So that's relatively mild compared to Rick Carlisle, who, remember, he's like, I just watched it. I saw everything. 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 The reporter echoes him. Everything? Everything. Or Mike Malone, who gets so upset when you don't give proper deference to one Nikola Jokic. Everything. Everything.
Stupid-ass questions.
Stupid-ass questions. It's good stuff. Now, who had a worse day? Would it be Peter DeBoer? Or would it be Jorge Lopez? DFA. DFA. You don't throw your glove into the stands. Although somebody out there got a really sweet souvenir. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.